Off the Ball
Rugby.
Pretty incredible. Only Johnny Sexton really could do this. So look, I know he was a de facto coach anyway. You know, I would imagine there's a few coaches out there whose noses are probably out of joint by this.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Welcome to Tuesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. After a bumper weekend of League of Ireland action, we'll hear from all around the grounds as the fallout between Damien Duff and Stephen Bradley continues. We'll look ahead to tonight's massive Champions League semi-final second leg between Inter and Barca, and which town in Tyrone will have European football next season. But first to yesterday's games in the League of Ireland Premier Division. Shamrock Rovers won 2-0 at home to Sligo Rovers thanks to a Graham Burke penalty and Aaron Green's 100th league goal. Rovers are up to second in the table. Sligo remain bottom. However, it was events off the pitch that grabbed the headlines after a 2-2 draw between Rovers and Shelburne at Talla Stadium 2 weeks ago. Shell's boss Damien Duff left without shaking hands with Rovers boss Stephen Bradley. Writing in his programme notes ahead of Monday's game, Bradley criticised that decision and he explained his thoughts last night to Off the Ball's Nathan Murphy.
Really annoyed you, the lack of a handshake after the game against Shells a couple of weeks ago from Damien Duff. Can you explain your thoughts on that?
It's disrespectful. I think you shake hands before and after games. Regardless of what happens in the game, you shake hands. For anybody to run down the tunnel and not shake hands, for me, is not acceptable. So regardless if it's Damien or anyone else, I'm not going to stay quiet and I'm going to call her out. So like I said, win, lose or draw, you shake hands.
Have you had a chance to talk to him about it?
No.
And is that it done for you, or do you expect to have a chat about it?
No, I don't really care. I'm just saying, if it was anyone else, I'd say the same. We were playing Bowes on the Monday. We were winning 2-0. 15 minutes left. They score on the last kick of the game to win the game. You go and shake the manager's hand and say well done. You know, it's not about running down tunnels and not having that respect. I think it's really important as managers that we lead by example and we have that respect.
Shelburne suffered a shock 1-0 loss at home to Waterford thanks to an early goal from Padraig Amond. The champions are seventh, just 1 point ahead of Waterford in eighth. Speaking to the press pack after the game, Duff said that he thinks Stephen Bradley got invited down to the Dáil and he seems to think that he can comment on everything at the minute. Duff says he didn't shake his hand after the game. He didn't shake any of the staff's hands after the game because he didn't think they deserved it. He wasn't even going to shake their hands before the game because it was a lack of respect for how he spoke about him before the game. It was a lack of respect criticising his character was the way he took it. But the game was nearly 2 weeks ago. So if it's still going on about that, that's all that he has to say about it. The origin of the disagreement between two of the league's most high-profile managers appears to be a comment by Bradley last month when asked about Duff's assertion that Shell's midfielder Kerr McEnroy is the best player in the league. And he said sometimes Damien can get a little bit carried away with his comments and a little bit emotional. Shells have one win from their last seven. Duff told their in-house media team that it's about sticking together.
Staff drive everything, and I was intense today. I was leading, I was pushing the energy, driving the energy. But at the end of the day, it does come from within, absolutely. So if you are a bit tired, it's just taking yourself off to another place mentally, or even the toilet, just to give yourself a talking to. But there definitely was a lack of energy. Was it fatigue? Was it nerves? Was it tension? I don't know. It's up for the staff to figure out, but the ground stunk of it in the first half. And like I said, it's about being courageous and not being safe and believing in what you believe. Believing in what you're doing. And absolutely, after the game, yes, we've still lost the game. I'd still make two changes in the first half.
There's probably a couple of lads out there tonight that maybe looked a little bit short on confidence. Would you be surprised by that, given like how solid we had been before, obviously, the loss in Derry?
Here, I don't know. It's we're all human beings at the end of the day, and we've the gold patch on our side, and we're champions, whatever. But champions dip in confidence as well, so it's about everybody obviously sticking together. They're obviously really disappointed. After the game, there's not much I can say. We're in tomorrow. It's not a time to criticise, really. Because if they are low in confidence, that certainly isn't going to help.
Yeah, when, as a player yourself, for you, an arm around the shoulder or kick up the arse?
I loved being kicked up the arse. I didn't like love. But society is different. Every player is different. Some people can take it, some people can't, and that's life, and it's why there's a lot more to coach and managing than just being out on the pitch and telling people where to run and where to pass the ball. There's the emotions of football. So again, even half time we were very calm, together, nothing critical, and after the game also. So guys are low in confidence, it's up for us to pick them up.
Shell's next opponents are St Pat's on Friday at Talca Park. Commentary of that game will be live and exclusive on Off the Ball on the Go Loud app. Pats are beaten 1-0 away to Derry City, with Danny Mullen scoring 3 minutes after the break. The result puts the Candy Stripes into third place, 1 point above Stephen Kenny's side on fourth. And Derry boss Tiernan Lynch told Virgin Media it has to mean something to wear that Derry City shirt.
Yeah, delighted. As I said, the players afterwards, I couldn't be more proud of them. They worked their socks off. Big game on Friday night that was heavy on us. Boys covered a lot of ground, and we obviously made a couple of changes tonight, but there were still 7 or 8 players out there that played Friday night, and to go again the way they did was absolutely superb. As I say, I thought they were excellent.
What pleased you most about that performance?
As we keep saying, the whole thing, what we're trying to create here is it has to mean something to pull that Derry shirt over your head. And I think all you do is listen to the crowd tonight, and when they watch players give 100%, and every one of those players give 100% to a man, even the changes tonight, they ran themselves into the ground. And that's the bare minimum we can expect. I think there's a load of quality in this team, which is still, I think they'll get better and better as they go along. But as I say, the bare minimum is run yourself into the ground.
You made changes tonight, as you said, and those boys stood up. Is that what it's going to be about, depth, if you're going to be there October, November time?
Again, all we do is think about the next game. I'll let people like yourself do all the talking about October and November or whatever it is. Our big thing is just now recover and concentrate on Cork on Friday night.
Another win here at home. You trying to build this place a bit of a fortress, a difficult place to come?
Well, it should be. It's a unbelievable crowd, and when they get behind the team, they probably don't realise the difference that they make, and they're without doubt our 12th man, and I think you just seen that tonight. They dragged us through that game, and great credit to Pats. They put us under for a bit of pressure at the end, and we had the roller sleeves up and dig tight, and I thought we'd done that.
And lastly, how much are you enjoying your adventure here? How much more are you looking to see from your team, the more as you coach?
Yeah, I'm loving every minute of it. As I said, they're an unbelievable bunch of boys. They work really hard, they're honest, and I think there's so much growth in them still.
Pats could have gone back to the top if they'd won last night, but the result means Drogheda United are top of the pile. Kevin Doherty's side scored a 96th minute winner from the penalty spot. Ryan Brennan made it 3-2 against Cork City. Shane Farrell and Warren Davis have put the Drogs ahead twice in the game, only to be pegged back twice by Gennaro Daniels. But after Thomas Alua was brought down late on in the game, Brennan stepped up to slot home from the spot, and Drogs boss Doherty said his side deserved the 3 points.
Happy with the vast majority of the performance, but I won't say we sort of luckily we got the penalty and scored. We deserved it, we deserved to win the game. But a couple of really silly goals that we gave away. I think it's the first time, certainly the first time Cork got into our box. The chance after us missing a sitter. We started the game really well. And look, even the nature of the two goals, and you just, those little things are going against us at the moment. You definitely see that because, say the OG the other day, that one, I think Conor Keely goes to clear it, it hits off someone and lands at the fella's feet, and he finishes it well, to be fair. But then the character we showed to go back, you could say we got a bit of fortune with the free kick that goes in because of the deflection, to be fair. But then the second goal, brilliant. I thought it was a great goal. Really delighted with that. And then we were in, I would say, control. I think we were in control, and Cork obviously have a massive threat as well, but I thought we were in control, and I actually probably don't have the words to describe this their equaliser. But I will say that to go back to what I was saying, we weren't lucky to go and get the penalties. Or it's something we've been doing consistently. It's a good ball, it's a good knockdown, and Thomas Lewis was absolutely brilliant. He gets there first, and it's a stonewall penalty, obviously. But then you have Ryan Brennan to step up, which, I mean, you go back to Shamrock Rovers when we had a penalty to Simmer and Ryan wasn't on the pitch, or Dougie. So we didn't get a point there. But it's great, and it's great. Look, the manner of it, I suppose, is great for everyone. And it's wild since we had a last minute or injury time winner, so great for everyone here. And it's a really good result because Hearts are an excellent team.
Another game and another injury time winner for Bohemians. Alan Reynolds' side had to come from behind to secure all 3 points away to Galway United. Moses Dyer scored his 8th goal of the campaign to put Galway in the lead before Sean Grehan equalised in the second half. And then very deep in stoppage time, Grehan scored his 2nd to spark wild celebrations from the away fans. That result puts Bohs into 5th and 21 points, 1 point above Galway in 6th. And speaking to LOI TV, Bohs boss Alan Reynolds paid tribute to the fans who drove his side onwards.
Yeah, look, fantastic again. You know, the lads are really, really fit and they go right to the end and drove on by the fantastic fans there. But I have to say, in the second half, I think we deserved that. We absolutely dominated. We weren't pleased with a number of things in the first half. We changed it. But the second half, the same players went out and performed. Then you bring on the players, made changes, and they go right to the end. And Sean Grehan, if there's a better centre-back in the country at the minute, I haven't seen him. He's an outstanding young player and a bright future.
Yeah, it was joyous scenes. I think they're only now 10 minutes after the game, the fans are starting to settle down. It's a special moment for that bond of team and supporters together.
It is, yeah, it is. Come here. It's not an easy place to come. They're a really good side. So to win down here is fantastic, like, to get a win. So, you know, credit to everyone. Everyone deserves pat themselves on the back. We're disappointed after Friday, but what a way to bounce back.
Yeah, that second half performance, you could sense the winner was coming because you just kept driving on.
Yeah, come here. They never say die. They want to keep going right to the end. And I think, obviously, we get one back, but kept pushing and pushing. We didn't settle for a draw, you know, but real character right the way through that squad. And even looking at the 2 set pieces, Derek Pender is now working on attacking set pieces and fantastic delivery and Sean Grehan, great headers.
You know, there's been a couple of dark moments, I suppose, over the course of the season. You've definitely have some, you know, the top end of the spectrum as well in terms of the positive end.
Yeah, well, look, they're never too far away. I mean, when you lose a game, it's the end of the world, so if you're devastated all weekend, it's really, really hurt you. And so we enjoy these moments.
Turning attention north now, Dungannon Swifts won their first ever Irish Cup on Saturday at Windsor Park. The game at Cliftonville finished 1-1 after both normal and extra time before the Tyrone side won 4-3 in penalties. That result not only brings a maiden Irish Cup triumph, but also European football to come with the Swifts entering the UEFA Conference League at the second qualifying round stage. And their striker, John McGovern, who scored their opening goal on Saturday, is attracting attention from south of the border. The Irish News reports that he's set for a move to Shamrock Rovers when the window reopens in July. The former Newry City man has also been name-checked by Northern Ireland boss Michael O'Neill as a possible option for the national team. Now to tonight's huge Champions League semi-final clash between Inter and Barcelona. It's finally poised at 3-3 after last week's first leg in Barcelona. Both sides recorded important league wins at the weekend. Barca came from behind to beat Real Valladolid by 2-1. Inter beat Verona 1-0 at the San Siro. The Catalans are chasing a treble. 17-year-old Lamine Yamal is at the heart of everything positive about the club at the moment. And after a mesmeric performance last week, Barca boss Hansi Flick said that he is a genius.
You know, for me, you know that because I hope that you know me. Because I'm here now 8 months, well, around about that, 8-9 months. And for me, the team is very important. Of course, we have players, they are exceptional. So it's, and Lamine is one, I said always, Lamine is a genius. What he's doing with the ball, it's unbelievable. And every pass is normally in the right pressure, with the right length, and it's really unbelievable with 17 years. And for me, it was the match on Wednesday when he brought us back with his actions and with his goal. It was really good to see. But he has to show that. It's now the second leg and a very important leg because we want to reach the final. This is our goal, and we need everyone on the highest level against this fantastic team of Inter.
Barcelona will be boosted by the return of Robert Lewandowski for tonight's game. The Poland international has missed their last 4 games due to a hamstring injury, including last week's game, but he has been included in the 23-man squad which travelled to Milan. Now, he might have to settle for a place on the bench as Hansi Flick also has one eye on Sunday's El Clasico against Real Madrid. Inter have some injury concerns of their own. Lautaro Martinez suffered a hamstring injury last week in Catalonia, but he hasn't ruled himself out of the second leg. The Inter captain is desperate to play. His inclusion in Simone Inzaghi's starting 11 will likely be a game time decision. If he isn't fit, either Mehdi Taremi or Marko Arnautovic will start alongside Marcus Thuram. Benjamin Pavard is out, however, so that'll see Jan Bisek line up on the right side of Inter's back three. Kickoff once again tonight, 8 o'clock. Nottingham Forest boss Nuno Espirito Santo believes the race for Champions League qualification will go right down to the end of the season. Last night's 1-1 draw away to Crystal Palace leaves Forest 2 points off the Premier League's top five with 3 games to play. Forest have to play Leicester, West Ham and Chelsea. Nuno says their hectic finish to the league is giving them an idea of what it'll be like in Europe's top club competition.
We go more or less in the cycle of the teams that are competing in Europe, and it's very, very hard, very demanding on the players. That's what I mean, that we are pushing them physically and mentally because we are involved in a fight that nobody expects us to be.
Real Madrid have approached Liverpool about signing Trent Alexander-Arnold before his contract expires at the end of June. The England international confirmed yesterday he'll leave the Premier League champions this summer. It's believed Real want him to be part of their squad for the Club World Cup. Their opening game is against Al Hilal on the 18th of June. And speaking of Real and Liverpool, France's Justice Minister Gerald Darmanin has apologised to Liverpool fans for wrongly blaming them for the chaotic scenes before the 2022 Champions League final. Prior to the game at the Stade de France in the northern suburbs of Paris, supporters were trapped in dangerous bottlenecks, tear gassed by police and attacked by local youths. 2 days after the final, Darmanin, the French Interior Minister at the time, jointly held a press conference with France's Sports Minister, Amélie Oudéa-Castéra, where they blamed British fans for arriving late to the Stade de France and fake tickets, claiming as many as 40,000 were in circulation closer to the stadium. In March 2023, UEFA said they'd issue refunds to nearly 20,000 Liverpool fans who attended the final after an independent report blamed the shortcomings in European football's governing body and the French authorities for the chaotic scenes. Yes, it was a failure, Darmanin said, because I hadn't checked what was happening properly, which was my mistake, and because I gave in to preconceived ideas. The culprit was easy. And I apologise to Liverpool fans. Of course, they were right to feel upset. That's about all we have time for on today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan and I'll be back tomorrow.